Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole wide world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. Every kid knows that one, right? We teach it to them all the time. And kids start to realize what that means. And we should do this too. Every power is at His disposal. Every authority under heaven and earth is His. He created everything. And He holds everything in His eternal hands. And now, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside His outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around His waist. And then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. Jesus holds the whole world in His hands. And what will He do with those hands? He will remove the clothes with which He, the Son of God, is garbed. He will lay them aside. He'll take up a bowl of water. He'll use His divine hands to remove the sandals from the scrummy, dirty, travel-worn feet of His disciples. And He will hold those feet in His holy hands and wash those feet. He's got the whole world in His hands. And He knows that the Father has given all things into His hands. So He takes into His hands the dirty feet of men who have walked with Him day after day. God has hands. And that's not metaphorical language. In the person of Jesus, God joined to human flesh, God has hands and feet and eyes and ears and fingers and lungs and nostrils and teeth and legs and fingernails and cuticles. And with these, He descends to take up the feet of sinful men into His hands. You can begin to understand Peter's protest. His God should not wash His feet. It's unbecoming to a proper God. Gods should be far removed from their creations, distant from the creatures that they created, especially if the creatures have rebelled and set themselves against the goodness and graciousness of God. Gods should not become men, should not unite themselves with sinful humans, should not have human flesh and hands, and should certainly not use those hands to take up and then wash away the grime from between the toes of sweaty, sandal-shod feet in these men who purport to follow such an incarnate God. You'll never wash my feet. So you also would protest if given the opportunity. But then Jesus' words, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me," they frustrate Peter's pious intentions. He relents, but he must have known viscerally that everything here was wrong. Washing feet is not what the Christ should do. It is not what a God should do. It's slave labor. It's a servant's task. If God descends to take on human flesh and then stoops to the lowest position, the foot washing place, the whole economy of human hierarchy is turned upside down. And as if that wasn't enough, Jesus then asks, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." And then he says, a new command I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, but also you are to love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples if you love one another. I mean, good grief. Christianity is already hard enough to buy into. Now he says, do as I have done to you, and as I have done in taking the lowest, most servile position of the foot-washing servant, love one another like that? That's painful. I mean, yeah, we're all going to be able to love one another up until a certain point. Love one another in whatever way you wish. That's the American creed of popular religion. But love one another as I've loved you, with a foot-washing, self-deprecating kind of love? No thanks. You know what it means to love others as you wish to be loved. But to love as Jesus loves you, to love selflessly and sacrificially, that's a tall order. But Jesus gives that commandment, this mandatum novum, new command. That's, again, the reason we call this Maundy Thursday. On the night when he's betrayed, he's given into hands of sinful men, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Simple, right? Do it, Jesus says. Love like this. Love like I do. Love those who could never deserve it. Those who hate you. Those who reject you. Those who are inclined to your destruction. And wash their feet. Assume the posture of a servant. Or worse, absolve their sins when they sin against you. Give them the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness they could never deserve. Love like that. Okay? By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another like this. This new commandment he gives you, love like this. Love incarnationally. Love as flesh among flesh. Love as sinners among sinners. Love those who cannot and will not ever deserve your love. Love to forgive those who are completely unforgivable. Love with your hands. Love in order to remove the filth, the guilt, the shame of your brothers and sisters. Love in order to get the dirt off your fellow man onto your own hands so that he might be clean. Love because your love will never be repaid. Love sacrificially. Love and never expect anything in return. Love as I have loved you, Jesus commands. Okay, then. Who among us has done that? No one. And yet, as I have loved you, that's pretty absolute. Jesus loves perfectly, and he doesn't wait for your love toward others to show his love to you. He loves. And if foot washing was the extent of Jesus' love, that would be probably difficult enough for us to emulate. But he doesn't have hands just to take up the disciples' grimy feet. He doesn't have fingers merely as instruments to scrub between their toes. He has the whole world in his hands, and he intends those hands to be nailed to the cross. That is love, his love. Behold the man who loves those who are completely unlovable. Behold the man who loves those who in just a few minutes will abandon him, who will flee to save their own lives. Behold the man who loves the unlovable, the rebellious, the sinful. Behold the man who loves those who could never deserve it. Behold the man who is God, and who in order to love his creatures perfectly and completely has become man. Behold the man who loves the world completely and perfectly in his death on the cross. If you want to love like this, like Jesus did, like he commands his disciples to love, you will never get there relying on your own deficient, selfish love. If you want to love like this, you've got to be loved like this. As I have loved you, is here on the altar. The fruits of Jesus' sacrificial love are in his holy supper for you to eat and to drink. Behold the man who gave himself in the perfect act of love. Behold the man who on the night when he was betrayed took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples as his own body. Behold the man who poured his blood into the loveless mouths of his disciples to forgive their sins. Behold the man veiled in bread and wine given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, for life, and for salvation. This feast of love fulfills Jesus' command to love one another. Because here, as you're fed and nourished with the body and blood of the only one ever to love like this, you are strengthened, as the liturgy says, in fervent love toward one another. Disciples who feed together on the same loving Lord are united together in love. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In order to love like this, behold the man. On his altar, behold there the man. In the chalice, behold the man. In the supper, behold the man who loves you enough to forgive you freely, fully, week after week after week, every time that it's offered. Behold there the man. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.